Mike Bell, I just met Dominic at the bar. I looked up, and he had a Texas-Arizona State hat on. And I'm like, well, Texas-Arizona State? He goes, that was the first college game he went to, which was obviously college football playoff this year.
Right.
So Dominic's sitting over here with the white hat on.
Hey, man, what's up? Texas probably should have took that in the shorts. It was Quinn Ewers and those last-minute heroics.
So he said, I'd never been to a college football game. And he said, I ended up going. He says, but, man, my dad, his name is Mike, listens to you guys every day, and he told me that you guys are going to be here, so I want to come hang out with you. So, Dominic, man, appreciate you coming through today.
What's up, Dominator?
Appreciate it. But, yeah, he was just talking about college football, and then he wanted to know. He said, how was practice? And I know that's what you guys are wondering, right? How was practice?
Oh, it was great. We saw a guy's head knock completely off his body. Trainer had to come out and reattach it. That's how hard things were popping. Now, again, I heard Dave Archer this morning on the morning shift, and it was pretty funny because it does – you don't want to be that guy like, you know, get off my lawn. But if you're – I think you caught some of it in your pro career on the radio.
Yes.
But I'm old enough. First team I ever covered, because I've worked for a rock station, but I got to go watch the Dolphins, and that was two-a-days. And that was the first day of practice, full pads. I mean, none of this workup period, but this is all part of the new collective bargaining agreement. It's been in place for almost a decade and a half now, where guys ramp up. So when people wonder, why can't guys tackle in the NFL like they used to? I just don't think they have the kind of contact, Carl. And the level of pad practice in during the midweek, but certainly in preseason, you used to see back in the 90s.
I agree with you. Look, the NFL, when they went to this safety first mode, that's when things started to slowly change. And look, it feels like it's been 30 years, but
right.
It's not. In the last decade, the CTE thing and all the stuff and right. Mike, that the reports and, you know, oh, this is dangerous and we got to cut back on the amount of hitting and all of that stuff has played into how practice is done now. And I've said this to people. The NFL is as violent as it's ever been.
Right.
If you don't think it is, go down on the sideline on a Sunday and just watch.
Bigger and faster and stronger than ever.
If you ever get an opportunity. But the reality is, all the banging the guys, the old school guys, did every single day is the toll that they paid on their bodies. You're doing that in practice. You're doing it in games. You're doing it in 2 days. And so the NFL, this is where they're smart, and I have no issues with it. But, like, people think that the game is soft. Look, I got to say this. I don't think that if I'm running across the middle, Mike, and I'm defenseless, that you should be able to take my head off.
Right.
I don't, like, now knowing that as a kid, I was like, take his head off.
Right.
Knowing that now, I don't think you should be able to do that. That's smart. And if you're talking about these guys and the best entertainers in the world, it's entertainment, guys. I want to see the best stars on Sunday. I don't
right.
want to see the triple backup dude who has no name, value, or brand and is not as talented as the starters. So they're trying to save all these guys, and I say that to say I have no issues with how practice is done, but it is completely different than
right.
what we originally knew when we first got into
and
this
business. We've talked about this. When we were kids, order your Sports Illustrated subscription, get the helmet phone or the best hits of 1986.
Yes, yes.
You know, but again, taking it all the way back to the 70s, you know, Jack Tatum, Mel Blunt, those days, they just don't exist. Now, you can still lay the lumber, but now you got this hit zone, this target zone, if you will. You guys have to hit. So it is just kind of funny because I can remember my first Falcons practice, summer of 1998, yep, down the road, Carl, in Swanee, and literally maybe a dozen people watching the Falcons on the hill by McDonald's. It's just, whoa, I came from Miami. It was like 3,000 people watching practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the Smith family. They had the motel down there. And then obviously Arthur Blank and his stewardship and what we have today, where when you look up on the hill, that's what every training camp around the NFL is supposed to look like.
My first camp was the Cowboys mid-90s in college. They are coming off of Super Bowls. And for those who don't remember this, for a few years they used to train in Austin. Okay,
right.
So they went to California, and they went to San Antonio 1 year, and they went to Austin. Long story short, Mike, you showed up. 10,000-15,000 people there. Now it's Emmitt Smith, it's Michael Irvin, right? It's Troy Aikman.
Right.
I'm just like a newbie. I'm in college.
Right.
I'm trying to get into this thing, and I am wowed at one, the size. Guys like Nate Newton were on those teams, right? But two, the physical hitting. It was full go. Like,
right.
11 on 11 wasn't just let him catch the ball or defend the ball. It was, if he catches it, you punish him.
This is full pads, taped up, the whole shebang.
And
I
so,
mean, that's it.
To your point. And then, obviously, from there, you know, I covered Denver, the Broncos. Then I covered the Texans when they started in
but
early
remember,
2000s. All these camps have been different over the years, and it's just been amazing to see the evolution. But I totally agree with you. Here's what you're saying, though. Here's the bigger thing. As we're just talking about the NFL in general, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. How much the sport has grown.
Right.
Because when you see these camps now, and you're going to see it, like we talked about this with Steve Weiss, you're going to go, they're going to go around the country. Look at all the people that are at these camps, even the teams that have no shot.
Right.
Even the teams that their fans are like, we know we're not winning the Super Bowl this year, but they're showing up because the popularity of the sport has just grown. That's really what you're talking about. The Cowboys are an anomaly. They've always been popular.
Right.
But when you win a Super Bowl as a Cowboy, that's a different element. And I got a chance to, like, cover one of those camps or two of them. And so, I've seen what that can be, but it's been a long time. So I'm with you, man. The camp environment for football players is completely different. And I actually think it's good for these guys because it should prolong your career.
Right. Now, the good news, bad news is you're going to have a sloppy week one. You know, there's always a lot of, you know,
because you're not tackling.
Penalties, and there's a lot of some mistakes and things like that. But then you get into it. And, of course, since we've gone to this three-week preseason, a lot of coaches are still wrestling with it. You know, we talked about why in God's name would Zach Taylor have Joe Burrow out there for three preseason games, knowing his injury history the last three seasons. But he says that's his – I bet you he'll back off of that. But then we asked Michael Penix Jr. today, I go, how much are you going to be in preseason? He goes, couldn't really comment on it, didn't really know just yet. How much do you want to see Michael Penix Jr. out there? The reps, because he only had three games as a starter and one mop-up duty in Denver.
He didn't comment. You tried to press him on it a little bit. Not big, but just, hey, you know, and if he would have said, yeah, we talked already and I'm playing in every game, Mike and I would have been like, what? I think here's the question for me. What's appropriate? Is appropriate the first two series of each, the first two games? Because third game, you're not
risking. Third game, you're just setting your roster.
Right?
You're cutting guys.
But I say the word appropriate. Is appropriate, hey, he needs a little bit more work. Maybe he starts the first couple of series in the second game and maybe comes out in the second. Like, what is appropriate? And that's what I don't know from Ra or from Zach Robinson. What is the appropriate amount of work that makes you go, he's good, we're good, get him out of there?
Now, again, if we get a chance, I didn't get a chance. You were at the press conference. I was still in traffic when you were talking to Coach Ra today. I'd love to ask him, last year was the only one series for Michael Penix Jr. a byproduct of not wanting to tick off Kirk Cousins because he was in his feels over the draft pick?
Yeah.
Or is that how you're going to approach it now with Michael? I just thought that last year, I think we were all kind of surprised. I thought we were going to see a lot of Penix because, you know, he needs the reps and get, you know, NFL speed, et cetera. And this year, just to get him ready. So I don't want to be week two or three, and Michael Penix is, I don't think he's going to regress. I think we believe in him, what we saw those three games as a starter.
Yes.
But I still think there's something to be earned or gained. And look, if there's a blitz, just sit down. Do a Tom Brady. Okay, forget it. Take a knee. Don't get hit. I get it. But I just want to see this guy out there because I would think what everything means this year for the coaching staff, for the front office,
you
to keep
want to
their
feel
jobs.
Comfortable.
You got to feel this guy's ready to go, and that comes with reps.
Yeah, you want to feel comfortable. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Another familiar face walking in here. Look at this. Guy's just popping up all over the place, man.
Give it up for and Michael McDonald wearing the sunglasses. I can't believe we're not in love anymore. I keep forgetting things will never be the same again. Yeah, so Michael McDonald in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, sing it. You guys know that song.
Come on now.
Y'all didn't know he was here?
Hey,
I just saw you on the Yacht Rock dock. It was great.
Cam Newton Jr. over there. What a fool believes.
Hey, man, 404-726-0929. Coming up, our interview with Michael Penix. Seriously, what did we think of practice? Let's talk about this for a second. Because as Leslie, I got to give Leslie a shout-out and her son. They came in earlier. I think they were eating.
She's an educator?
Yes, big listener. Her son literally was like, I get in the car. I said, after practice, she's got y'all on. And he's a big sports guy. He plays basketball.
I nominate her for Parent of the Year in Hall County.
Oh, my God. Like, she's like, I listen to you guys every day. And then her son and her are literally arguing about Kirk Cousins and stuff. So I'm like, okay, you guys do listen. But let me say this. As far as practice today, day one, it was good. I mean, like, this is a process, guys. But Penix looked on. The biggest thing we took from today, and we're going to get into this more at 5 o'clock, and we'll let you hear more of Kyle Pitts, is that they made an effort, Mike, to let everybody know we're throwing to Kyle Pitts
now,
today.
You and I always joke around because years ago when Crow and I first got together, I'm like, these teams, these players, they don't listen to talk radio or this and that. And now I realize Carl's right. They sponge up everything. They hear everything. So I was saying, we were all over the Kyle Pitts debate comes up like every other week because, as you said last year, he was an important cog in the machine, and
yes,
unfortunately, we didn't get the results. And then the defense, other things happened. Kirk Cousins imploded. But this year, to hear that from your quarterback, first thing he says, hey, we got the ball in KP's hands. So he's acutely aware of the criticism of Kyle Pitts. The team is acutely aware. And then we're also in this strange sort of crossroads because I would think win, boom, or bust, Kyle Pitts won't be here next year. I can't see us spending the kind of money the top-level tight ends and his agent are going to ask for if, for argument's sake, he gives you two Pro Bowl-caliber seasons out of five.
Even if he balls out and we go to deep in the playoffs?
I mean, if he balls...
Come on now.
But then, but you need to have money for...
Come on now, Mike, he's young.
No,
you still
got to
pay... Garrett Wilson got paid.
Again.
You got to get paid for... You got to pay Drake, right? Drake London's got to get paid.
Okay, his money's there.
Bijan's got to get paid.
His money will be there.
Okay. Eventually, you're going to have to pay everybody else.
I am unlike you right now, who after day one is like, I don't see him here next year.
I don't think he'll be here. I don't
unlike
care if he's
you,
better than Travis Kelce. I'm still not paying him $100 million.
Well, he's not going to get $100 million. But
well, he's going to get top money tight end loot.
He is. But unlike you, I'm willing to at least allow Pitts to show us he can play.
Well, then maybe Pitts, maybe Kyle could specify what was the nature of the injury that kept him out of mandatory minicamp.
He's not going to do that.
Because that was, if you missed the start of the show, when Kyle Pitts came to the media scrum, where all the, you know, the TV and radio and everybody else is, the first question is, what exactly was the nature of that foot injury?
None of your business.
Oh, you know, it was a thing, and banged up foot. And a
he wouldn't say.
You know, and then,
none of your business.
And then when people pressed him, you got to ask the trainers. I'm asking you. It's your freaking foot. I mean, that's why I'm just like, it just aggravates me, and I know it shouldn't, but you and I, don't be honest now, don't lie. We looked at each other and raised our eyebrows like,
well,
what the hell?
Because when I asked you guys way back when he wasn't playing in OTAs and mandatory minicamp, and they were like, well, the severity of the injury, we're being very precautious.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, what's the injury? And nobody wanted to say. So now fast forward to the start of training camp, and you're like, hey, you're 100%. What's the injury? I'm not saying. What's going on?
So
that's all. I'm with you.
He looked 100% today. We talked about a couple of cool. Again, this is they are 11-on-11.
But he didn't want to divulge that.
They're going full speed. It's not three-quarter speed. They're not wearing pads. But there were football plays being made. There were a lot of defensive grabs because some of the throws were underthrown. A few. There was also some great throws to Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts had two big throws and catches today.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to talk about, plenty more to get to here on the show. It's Dukes and Bell live from Hooters, and again,
Hooters.
It's Mall of Georgia location. Our interview with Michael Penix coming up. But right now, let's give you a chance to win that family four-pack to the Premier League Summer Soccer Series. 404-726-0929. Caller 5, Big O, back at the studio. As that match is going to happen August 3rd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Tickets are provided by Premier Soccer League. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 5 right now just for listening to Dukes and Bell. All right, we're coming back. If you did not hear today, big news in the sports world. We lost an iconic figure. We'll get to that as well here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.